This is Dick Tracy on the case of the Panther's murder. Stand by for action. Let's go, man. Yes, it's Dick Tracy, protector of law and order. Well, Tracy fans, today is the celebration of Indiana Day. On December 11, 1816, Indiana became the 19th state to join the Union. You know, it's said that less than 300 years ago, French trappers and fur traders were the first white men to enter that region. But it wasn't until about 80 years later that the first permanent settlement was made at Fort Vincennes. And as late as 1811, Indians were still making trouble in the area. But General William Henry Harrison, who later became president, waged war against the unfriendly Indians who followed Tecumseh. He defeated them decisively, if you recall, in the Battle of Pitiquin. There was practically no trouble after that. But 5 years later, Indiana became a state. 300 years ago, a wilderness, today, the self-ranking state in population. Yes, 3.5 million people are proud to make their homes in the Hoosier State. That's Indiana's nickname. The state flower is Virginia. Its capital, Indianapolis. Indiana's motto is the crossroads of America. So thank you, fans all over America, have joined the people of the Hoosier State in saluting the 130th anniversary of Indiana becoming one of these states. And now, Dick Tracy. A man has been killed and $10,000 is missing. All this followed a football game at the exclusive Calvert Academy. The murderer had vanished, and it looked like the perfect crime until Kip Nichols, a member of the Board of Trustees at Calvert Academy, came forward with some important information. He said that he had seen a man run out of the building and drive off in a taxi cab, and that furthermore, he had gotten the license number. And this brought an unexplained outburst from Joe Gill. Today's episode begins in the apartment of Joe's father, 50 years.
Me, Ellen. Take it easy.
Well,
I didn't hear you, Ellen. I just didn't hear you.
Well, I
haven't
told you yet.
I'm sorry, Ellen. I didn't hear you.
Well, we've been living in the living room for 8 years.
Well,
many of the time that I've been in the kitchen and
you've
been in the living room, and I've spoken to
you
in a perfectly normal voice, you appeared to me without the least of trouble. I think you must forget me, Joe.
Look, is that the only subject in the world you can talk on, Ellen?
I'm sorry, sister. I didn't
mean to rag you. Oh, it's all right, Ellen.
Forget it. You're worried about something, aren't you, sister?
No, I'm just nervous, that's all. Please don't bother yourself about it.
Was it an accident, sister? Did you run into somebody with a cab?
Don't be silly. You know I'm a careful driver. I've never had an accident, and I don't aim to. Why, the cab company's congratulated me several times on my record.
I know, but I was just asking. Because there's something pretty heavy on your mind.
I tell you, forget it.
Sister, we've been married a long time. We've been very close to each other. We've never had any secrets that we didn't share the one with the other. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Then why don't you tell me what's worrying you?
For heaven's sake, tell him, will you stop cross-examining me?
I'm sorry, Sissy. Was it a good day, Hattie?
I wouldn't exactly call it my best day.
Sissy, something hasn't happened to Joe, has it? Oh. Please tell me, Sissy. I've got to know.
No, Ellen, Joe is fine. He's just fine, I said.
Oh, thank goodness. Thought maybe something had happened to Joe and you're afraid to tell me.
Nah, nothing could happen to Joe. That boy of ours is a rugged kid.
Imagine him going to Calvert Academy and being so high in his studies in the first 10 in his class.
Yep, and he made the junior high football team.
Did you see him playing the game?
Sure, I saw him playing the game. But I sat up on the other side of the field.
How did he do it?
Well, how did he do? He won it. That's all. He won it.
My, I just wish I could have seen him.
He intercepted a pass on his own 38-yard line and then fought all the way up the field for the touchdown that won the game.
Did they cheer for him?
Sure, they did. They knocked themselves out.
Oh, my goodness. And did you see Joe after the game?
No, I didn't. I couldn't. I had to get away.
Oh, you should have seen him. He's at that boarding school all the time. He looked forward to seeing him.
Yeah.
I'll write him tonight and tell him you saw the game.
Yeah, do that, will you?
And now you just sit down and eat your supper. Don't think the whole trouble with me is you don't eat enough.
I'm not hungry.
Nonsense. I fixed all your favorites for tonight.
I told you I'm not hungry.
All right. You don't have to eat. Well, at least I spoke yourself a Professor Kimberly before you left Calvert Academy. It's been so nice to us. It would have been rude if you'd left.
I saw Professor Kimberly.
How was he?
He was dead, Ellen.
What?
He was dead.
Oh!
Somebody killed him.
Oh, no, sister. Oh, no. He was our friend. He was so good to Joe.
He was at the door, Ellen.
Oh.
I'd like to talk to Mr. 50 Gears.
Ask him to come in, Ellen.
Won't come in, please.
Yes, thank you. I'm Inspector Dick Tracy, and this is Mr. Top Patton.
How do you do? I'm 50 Gears.
I'm here to take you into custody, Jesse.
You must be mistaken, Mr. Clayton.
What do you want me for?
Well, I don't want you for anything. And I've been ordered to pick you up and take you to Calvert County to see Duffy White.
What's the charge?
The murder of Professor Monty Kimberly.
Mr. Clayton, that's impossible.
He's right. It's impossible. Ellen.
Yes, Jesse.
Look at me, dear. Remember you said that we've never had any secrets from each other?
I remember.
But we still haven't. I've never killed anybody.
I know that, Jesse. You don't have to tell me.
No matter what they do to me, don't you forget them.
I won't.
I'll let you take a few personal belongings with you, Jesse, but let's make it fast. We've got to get done.
You're making a terrible mistake, Mr. Clayton.
Well, I have nothing to do with it, Jesse. I told you that I've been ordered to pick you up and deliver you to Chief White.
And what, Jesse? If there's anything good going, you're ready. Well, it's not just me, Mr. Clayton, Mr. Patton. I don't care about myself. But you're going to do terrible harm to two other innocent people. My wife, Ellen, and my son.
Oh, is this Andrew Drew, the one who goes to Calvert Academy with me to get put down?
Yeah.
That's quite a little trick on a business man.
I should say it does, you mind if I ask a question, Jesse?
What is it?
Doesn't it seem a little odd that the son of a taxi driver should be going to a swell school like Calvert Academy?
What's odd about it? Our boy's good enough for any school in the country.
Well, I didn't mean it like that, Mrs. Drew. Sure, your son's one of the finest young halfbacks I've ever seen banked down a few years. And I'm positive he's even better than he studies. I'd be willing to venture if the boy's got a brain anyway.
What that means, Mrs. Gears, is from a purely economic standpoint, it seems strange your son could be going to such an expensive school to be, have a scholarship.
He does not.
Well, I'd like to explain things to you, Mr. Clayton.
I wish you would, Jesse. We don't like to ask questions that don't concern us, but this is a murder case.
And don't forget this. It's a murder case that's outside our district. Once you deliver 50 years to the sheriff, our only interest in the proceedings is that of private citizens.
Well, it's an unfortunate technicality that I'm beginning to regret more and more. Okay, so please tell us about Joe.
Well, it's pretty simple, Mr. Clayton. It's just that I've always wanted Joe to have the advantages in life that I couldn't have.
We've had a good life together, sister.
I know we have, Ellen, but you see, Mr. Clayton, I've worked pretty hard driving a cab, and I've saved my money so that Joe could have the education that I'm missing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I found out that Calvert School was one of the best and that Professor Kimberly was teaching there...
Well, just a minute, Jesse. Did you know Professor Kimberly before Joe went to Calvert Academy?
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm. How'd you meet him?
Well, I once took a course at the University Extension School. Professor Kimberly was the instructor. I didn't do so good at the course, but I got to know Mr. Kimberly. We used to talk quite a lot after class. And please don't laugh.
Nobody's laughing, Jesse. Now, go on.
Well, as I say, we used most of our savings, but with Professor Kimberly's help, we got Joe into Calvert.
And he's done well there. He's in the top 10 of his class.
Well, that I have no doubt, man.
Jesse, I'd like you to tell me what you did on the afternoon that Professor Kimberly was murdered.
Well, when I was through hacking, I drove out to the school. You see, I own my own cab, and I parked where I always do by Blair Stonehouse.
And just why do you park there?
Well, Blair Stonehouse is where Professor Kimberly has his office in his room.
I still don't understand why you had to park just there.
Well, you see, Mr. Tracy, I'm just a taxi driver. Now, I'm not attuned to that, but, well, I didn't want people in the school to know that Joe's father wasn't an important man. You know how things are. I was afraid it might hurt Joe in the school.
No, I disagree.
Well, maybe I was wrong, but that's the way I see it.
So you got your taxi by Blair Stonehouse.
Yeah. Yeah, it was well hidden there. Very few people could see it. And then I went over and watched the football game, and I saw Joe make that touchdown. I'll still remember that for a long time.
Yeah. So would I. What happened after that?
Well, I went to Professor Kimberly's room to meet Joe. I always did that about once a month. See, the professor used to tell me that I was crazy, and Joe used to want me to kind of walk around the school grounds with him, but like I told you, I wouldn't do it because I didn't want people to know that Joe's dad was just a cab driver.
Well, as I told you, Jesse, I agree with Joe in the school. However, nothing would affect Joe's popularity at that institution. But what happened?
Well, after the game, I went up to Professor Kimberly's room and knocked on the door. There was no answer, so I opened the door and walked in to see if what he told me to do in case he was out.
Come on, Jesse.
When I got in the room, Professor Kimberly was lying on the floor by the window.
What did you do?
I ran to him, lifted him up, and sat him in the window seat. And then I shook him a bit to see if he fainted. Then I thought he'd been beaten over the head. I listened to his heart and realized that he was dead. Then I heard somebody yelling outside the window, and I saw that open safe and the blood on the floor, and I realized that everyone would think that I murdered Professor Kimberly. I was panicky. I ran away.
You left the body on the window seat?
Yeah. And the window was open, Dick.
Okay. Well, what'd you do next, Jesse?
Well, I ran down the stairs and got into my cab and drove away as fast as I could. Well, I was scared, Mr. Clayton. I'm still scared. I had nothing to do with the murder of Professor Kimball.
Listen, please, Mr. had nothing to do with it. The professor was his friend.
Please, don't take me away, Mr. Clayton. It might ruin my kid's life.
I'm sorry, Chester, but I have no alternative. Go under arrest.
For the moment, we'll return to Dick Chester. But first, the grand night for singing tonight, because this is the night of the great Will Bing Crosby show. Yes, sir, Wednesday is Bing's day, the day for you to hear Bing Crosby sing the songs you like to hear, as only Bing can sing them. The new Bing Crosby show, there's a little sort of spectacular with John Scott Carter in his orchestra, the rhythms of the Carrier and the pianos of the Henderson. And don't forget the recipe for Bing Crosby over ABC tonight. Wednesday night is Bing's day night. Wednesday is also the time for that fun and money show, Pot of Gold. Happy Sultan supplies the fun, who also has a hand in supplying the money. Because he's the fellow who sings the fool on the Pot of Gold program. It's another Wednesday ABC Potter. Now, whoever Happy calls on the telephone tonight may win $1,000. Could you use it? This living too is Arlene Francis on the affairs of Aunt Scotty. And for a crazy comedy of the like of which you've never heard before, laughs with Henry Morgan tonight. Go for Topson Entertainment, The Affairs of Anne Scotland, Bing Crosby, Pot of Gold, Henry Morgan, ABC Wednesday night. And now, back to the station.
Something tells me that 50 years is going to be hung on circumstantial evidence.
Not if I can help it, Patrick.
This isn't your department, Dick. Don't stick your neck out. There are too many people who'd like to break it.
Is Dick Tracy going to ruin his reputation to save a possible murderer? He may be threatened with more trouble than he can handle. Better tune in tomorrow for The Adventures of Dick Tracy, written for radio by John Ray. This is George Gunn speaking. Say, Tracy fans, do you have a number of favorite heroes? Well, sir, you're going to add one to your list when you hear Sky King. Because when it comes to dangerous adventures, no one can make...